Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Clark Upton. Welcome, Clark. I'm so happy to have you with me.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And you've been listening to a few of these, so you have some sense and know that we start at the beginning, and I'm pretty sure that you are a native Oregonian.
Not quite. I moved to Oregon when I was in second grade.
So where did you actually get started?
I was born in Spokane, Washington. My parents were living in Coulee City at the time, but my mom went to the hospital in Spokane to have me. And then we shortly thereafter moved to Rawlins, Wyoming, where I spent pretty much the first 8 years of my life. I started school there and then moved to Portland in, I forget what year it was, 1967, maybe, something like that.
Do you know why your family made that first, well, either of those moves?
To Wyoming? My dad, he's a pastor, a Presbyterian church pastor, and he was a associate pastor at a church in Coulee City, and things weren't really going well with the senior pastor. He wasn't letting him preach as much as he really wanted to, and kind of, so anyway, long story short, my dad was offered a position in a church in Wyoming. They just kind of branched out and moved there. They didn't really know what they were getting into, but they thought, I don't know, maybe they were just up for an adventure, you know. But Rawlins, Wyoming was a pretty interesting place to live. It's pretty much a small little town out in the middle of nowhere, practically.
How many siblings do you have and where do you fit in the family?
I have four siblings, four brothers, no sisters, and I'm right in the middle. I have two older brothers and two younger brothers.
Did you ever wish you had a sister?
I don't think I ever wished that. No, I don't remember thinking that. Although as an adult, I wish I would have had a sister just because that would help me understand girls a little better. I had a hard time, you know, relating to girls through school because I never had a sister and I didn't know how to react around girls, I guess.
So what does a family of five boys do for fun as children this time of the year? We're getting into the holidays.
Well, we were fairly spread out. My older brothers, two older brothers are, well, the next brother oldest to me is 4 years, and then there's 2 years between them. And then there's 2 years between myself and my next younger brother, and then 4 years between them. So I'm not sure how many years that is. I can't do the math. I guess I should ask Simon Opel-Elschman. He's the math whiz. But anyway, this time of year, lots going on. Usually we were all involved in, you know, extracurricular activities. Some were in band, some were in choir, some in both. And so there were a lot of those things going on at school, you know, Christmas shopping, trying to get presents for everybody and family gatherings.
And since I did your mother's stories, I do know a little bit about your family, but she was really big, or she is really big into music, right?
True. Yes, she is.
The fact that you were preacher's kids, did that play any kind of a role that you recall in your growing up years?
Not really that I recall, other than, you know, I was in sports a lot, and I didn't really drink, I didn't swear, you know, so I was kind of a clean cut kid. And so, you know, there'd be locker room talk or somebody talking and they'd say, oh, Upton's in the room, you know, be careful or whatever. So...
What kind of sports were you playing?
I typically played football in the fall and basketball in the winter and then baseball in the spring and summer ball.
All of them?
Yeah, three sports pretty much through, you know, middle school through high school. And I did do a little bit of soccer in middle school, but once I got to high school, soccer was the same time as football in the fall. So I chose football instead.
And what position did you play in football?
Wide receiver and quarterback were the two positions. I didn't play a lot as I got older. I played quite a bit when I was in junior high and, you know, freshman, sophomore. But then other people were better than I was when we got up into the, you know, varsity. So I was, didn't play, but just a little bit.
What's your involvement with sports as an adult? Did you play anything as an adult? Do you watch it on TV? Do you go to games?
I love to watch a good baseball game or a good football game, good basketball. I don't really have special teams, you know, that I follow. I just like to watch a good game. And personally, I try to stay in shape by running and biking, swimming. I've competed in several sprint triathlons out at Hag Lake, where you do the swimming and then you get out of the pool and do the bike ride and then run a 5K at the end. It's a fairly short race. It's not anything like an Ironman or something like that, but it takes, you know, an hour and 45 minutes to complete. But it helps keep you in shape doing all those three different sports together.
That's pretty impressive. What is it about sports, do you think?
Maybe just the physical activity. You know, you're kind of challenging yourself to stay in shape and push yourself a little bit. And then also just the camaraderie when you get together for an event like a triathlon. You know, there's hundreds of other people there, and you're just it's exciting to be a part of that. Family-wise, we do, you know, family bike rides. Margaret and I have a tandem bicycle, and we do quite a bit of riding on our tandem bicycle. And my brother and his wife also have a tandem, so often we do some family bike rides like that. And we play pickleball. That's a fun game that we've picked up recently. You don't have to run quite as much as you do with tennis. And it's something we can do together. It's a small court. The ball doesn't go very far when you miss it.
You don't spend your time chasing it quite so far.
Right, exactly. Yep.
So on this tandem that you and Margaret ride, are there special places that you like to go when you're on your bike?
Boy, not really any special places. We just try and, you know, vary it a little bit. We ride pretty much around our house. We go for rides, you know, into Hillsboro or over to where my mom lives, at the Springs of Tannisbourne. You know, 6, 10, 12-mile rides. We have taken our bike up to the Buxton Trail and ridden. There's a name for that. It's I can't think of the actual name of the trail. It's out in the Banks Buxton area, out Highway 26. And there's a nice trail there. You can start at the park, or you can start down, you know, closer to Banks and ride. It's a paved trail. It's an old rails to trails. It's been turned into a paved road. So that's nice. It's cool in the summer because it's covered by trees, and it's beautiful up in the woods.
So we'll get back to a little bit of your growing up years. Once you moved to Oregon, did you stay in Oregon then after that?
I stayed in Oregon through college. We started in Portland. We lived in North Portland for 3 years, our first years in Oregon. And then after 3 years, we moved out to Hillsboro, where my dad took a preaching position at the Old Scots Church. Some people may know about that, Tualatin Plains Presbyterian Church. And so we lived there through my high school years, and then college. I went to college in Monmouth at Oregon College of Education, which is now Western University, I think. And then after college, I moved east of the mountains over to La Grande. I didn't really like growing up here in the rain. I don't like the rain. I like the dry climate and the sunny, snowy winters of eastern Oregon. So, that's where I met Margaret. And then I moved out of state, if we want to go to that point. But
we will in a minute. But so you went to public school?
Yep, just all the Hillsboro West Union Elementary School, Hillsboro Mid High, Hillsboro Senior High, and then on to college from there.
When it was time to go to college and to pick a college, how did you make that decision? And did you know kind of what you were going to do or be?
I really didn't have anything in mind that I really wanted to go for. And as far as picking schools, you know, our kids, when they pick schools, I mean, they applied to different schools. They looked at the, you know, the cost and the, what they offered and, you know, the departments that they had. And I really didn't do any of that. I went to Portland Community College in Rock Creek for my first year and took just general ed classes, you know, kind of got some of the history and health and those classes out of the way. And at that point, I think it's where I kind of steered towards elementary education. I was always, you know, working with kids in the church, summer programs, vacation Bible school, and things like that. And people told me I would be good working with kids. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good profession. So that's kind of where I headed. And Oregon College of Education in Monmouth was the teacher's school at that time. So that sort of lended itself. I didn't need to go out of state. You know, our kids wanted to get away from home and go someplace, you know, out of state. But that was good enough for me.
So you spent 3 years there?
Yeah, 3 years there.
Mm-hmm. And ended up with what degree?
Bachelor of Science in Elementary Ed. Yeah.
Did you plan on teaching? Was that the idea then?
Yep, that's what I did. Yep, got out of school and then applied for teaching jobs. And
east of the mountains.
Yep, east. I applied mostly Central Oregon, Eastern Oregon, even though I did some substitute teaching while I was waiting for a job offer here in the Hillsborough area, North Plains, Reedville, West Union, Hillsborough Public Schools. And my first job actually came about in Eastern Oregon, but it was Southeastern Oregon in Harney County, near Burns. And it was a one-room schoolhouse, or actually at that time it was two rooms. They were looking for a teacher, and so I taught first through fourth grade, and there was another teacher that taught fifth through eighth grade on the other side of the partition. And the second year I was there, he retired, and so I taught first through eighth grade the next year. It was a small school. I think I only had four students in my first year at first or fourth grade. And then the second year, I think some of them had moved away. And I think I only had a total of maybe six kids in the whole school.
What was that like? Like, that's something we think about way back in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, there's a whole school district there, Harney County School District, that has one room schoolhouses kind of spread out. I think there are six or eight. There was at that time. This was, you know, 30 years ago or so. But, I think some of them are still there. My school that I taught at is no longer there. It was kind of close to the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, and there's a Malheur Lake there, and that lake eventually flooded. About every 100 years, that lake fills up. It's, you know, real flat, so when the water rises just a few inches, it covers a lot of ground, and it sort of flooded that school out, and so they ended up sending the kids then either to Burns or down the road to Crane, which is a boarding high school, elementary school.
How did you go about teaching four grades at one time? What was your plan? Had you been taught anything about that in college or anything?
Not really, no. It was something totally new. And actually, after 2 years of it, I said, I've got to get into a regular classroom. I just can't. There was nobody to talk with. You know, you didn't have co-teachers to bounce ideas off of. You're kind of there by yourself. But basically, you just, you know, I put the assignments on the board for each grade level, and then you sort of bounce around to different grade levels and teach that subject while the other kids are working on their homework assignments or whatever, or reading or playing a game or something. And then you just move around the classroom and teach different levels.
And what was your living situation during those 2 years?
They just had a mobile home trailer on the property there. So I lived in that. And actually, it's kind of funny because that's how I started my career. That was my first 2 years of teaching. And then I taught for about 6 or 8 years, some in LeGrand, some substitute teaching. And then I left teaching. Again, we're getting a little far ahead, but I met Margaret. We moved to Pennsylvania. I changed careers, but I couldn't find a job in my new career. And so I went back to teaching for another 3 years, where we came back to Oregon, and I taught in another one-room schoolhouse in northeastern Oregon, up near Enterprise, the little town of Troy, which is down in a canyon right on the Grand Ronde River as it flows through there. And they actually had a double-wide mobile home for the teacherage, and they built a shed for us and a garage and stuff. And that was the end of my teaching career. I had kind of given up on teaching and wanted to change careers. And when I couldn't find a job in that career, I went back to teaching thinking, why did I ever leave teaching? That's such a great profession. You know, you plan your own day, you're doing great things with kids. And when I got back into it, I realized, yep, I understand why I left. It was just, you know, all the lesson planning and grading papers, and it was just all consuming for me, and I just didn't feel good about what I was doing there.
So when you could choose a grade to teach, which one did you decide when you were teaching was the one you wanted?
Well, what I would have really enjoyed teaching, you know, after my experiences in the one-room schoolhouse and doing substitute teaching, kind of my favorite grade is third grade, third and fourth grade. Those kids are just, they still want to learn. And the curriculum for third and fourth grade, you know, included changing from, you know, addition to multiplication and division and cursive writing. And I don't know, kids are, they're able to do a lot of things, but they're still not old enough to kind of give you that hard of a time. But what ended up happening was I taught sixth grade. When I left that one room schoolhouse, I taught sixth grade for a couple of years, and sixth grade was not my favorite grade.
They're starting to very much have minds of their own.
Yeah, a lot of drama in sixth grade. Yeah.
So when you picked out this new career, what was that career?
Well, I met Margaret in La Grande when I was teaching and doing a variety of jobs. I worked at the Postal Service for a couple of years. I drove a school bus. I was a director of a campus ministry organization there in La Grande at the college. But when I met Margaret, we moved to Pennsylvania, and I found a job working with adults with physical disabilities at United Cerebral Palsy. So doing that work sort of inspired me a little bit to look into occupational therapy, because it was very similar, you know, helping people with disabilities become more independent in their living situations. And so I went back to school at that point and got an associate's degree in OT. So I'm an occupational therapy assistant, which works really well did at the time for me. We had two small children, and I didn't want to spend too much time going to school and spending all that money. So the associate's degree allowed me to get out in the workforce and start practicing fairly quickly. And I get to do a lot of the hands-on treatments, whereas the OTs who go the full distance and get a master's or a doctorate in OT have to do all the evaluations and the discharges and a lot of the paperwork and sort of that planning. I got to do the treatments, and if I had problems, I could always refer it to the OT.
What took you to Pennsylvania? Was Margaret from there, or?
Margaret grew up in Pennsylvania. Her family is still there in Pennsylvania.
Where?
Well, they're in Mechanicsburg right now, Carlisle, Mechanicsburg, near Harrisburg, the state capital. But she grew up more north of that in Cuylertown, Clearfield area. So that's what took us back there. We got married in La Grande, Oregon. Marcus was born, and about 2 years into his life, Margaret was feeling like she was kind of missing her family and her parents, and wanted, you know, her parents to know Marcus. And so we ended up moving back there.
And then another child was born.
Ellen was born in Pennsylvania while we were there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what was she doing you said you had a little trouble maybe finding the right fit for you. What was going on with her that kept you there?
Well, Margaret was, when I met her in La Grande, she was working as a nurse practitioner at the Student Health Center of Eastern Oregon University. And that's what she did when we went to Pennsylvania. She worked at Dickinson College in Carlisle.
So how long were you in Pennsylvania? What was the scenario?
Yeah, we were there for about 5 years. And that's when I went back to school and got my degree. And there were some healthcare changes happening right around 1998 that were affecting the jobs. Medicare was passing certain laws that made it more difficult for billing, and that's a whole thing. But anyway, I couldn't find a job. And so that's when we decided to move back to Oregon, to Troy, and I took that one-room schoolhouse job there. And Margaret was working part-time at a doctor's office in Enterprise while we were there. We were there for 3 years.
And so we're going to jump ahead a little bit. When and how did you end up back in the Portland area, in Hillsboro specifically, which is where you are now?
Right. Well, both of Margaret and I both like Oregon. I mean, especially the summers. The summers are gorgeous. And we both kind of tend to like the eastern part, central eastern part of Oregon. But my mom and all my family are here on the western side. And my dad passed away while we were living after we were in Pennsylvania and came to Troy. We moved back to Ohio then, where Margaret took a job there. And then from there, we moved to Virginia. We lived in Harrisonburg, Virginia for 9 years while the kids all went through school. But we always wanted to return to Oregon somehow. We'd been away from my family for a long time, close to Margaret's family. So it was kind of my turn to live near my family. We've traded off back and forth over the years. And since both of us like Oregon, at some point we'd like to maybe retire in eastern part of Oregon, central eastern Oregon, up in the Wallowa County, where you get a good view of the mountains and it's dry in the summer and cold and snowy in the winter. But anyway, so that was kind of back and forth. So in Virginia, we decided to move to Oregon. The kids graduated from high school, went to college. We didn't really have ties anymore. Margaret's dad had passed away. Her family kind of spread out around the East Coast, some in Florida, some in Maryland. They weren't all up in Pennsylvania anymore. So we just decided to make the jump and come back here to Portland, Hillsboro, anyway, because that's where my family is.
And what year was that?
We moved back here in 2015. So we moved to Harrisonburg in 2006, lived there for 9 years, and then back to Hillsboro here. And Margaret was able to get a job. Both of us are pretty marketable in our jobs that we have. OT is, you know, as people get older, there's more and more demand for OTs. So I was easily found a job, and Margaret found a job also.
So at some point, now you were raised Presbyterian. At some point, you got connected with the Mennonites. And right. When you mentioned Harrisonburg, Virginia, of course, that comes to mind. Give me a little bit of that story.
Yeah, when we moved from LeGrand to Pennsylvania, we were looking for a church, and we went to the Presbyterian church. Didn't really feel like our church back home, our Presbyterian church that we had. And so we were open to looking at some different churches. And Margaret had some friends in her graduate school, or her first working job after graduate school, who were Mennonite. And she always admired their kind of lifestyle and their way of living, the way they lived out their faith, I guess. And so we thought, well, let's try a Mennonite church. And we went to Slate Hill Mennonite Church. I guess it's just outside of Mechanicsburg, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And it was a great fit. I mean, you know, just the folks there, the first Sunday we were there, we were just invited out to dinner. And, you know, we thought, this is the church for us. And so we sort of set down roots there, and we were rebaptized. So we've often said, you know, we're true Anabaptists, because we were baptized as infants and then we're baptized again as adults. So that's how we got into that church.
So what took you to Virginia?
Margaret had been working in health services at the college level for most of her career. And there was an opportunity in Harrisonburg to be the director of the student health clinic. She'd always worked just as a nurse practitioner, but there was an opening down there to be the director at Eastern Mennonite University. So we thought, wow, that's the best of both worlds. You get to be the director, and it's also a Mennonite university. So that was kind of a no-brainer. So we decided to move there. And it wasn't that far from her parents. You know, it was a two-hour drive up the highway to Mechanicsburg, where they were living at that time.
So when you came back to Oregon in 2015, now you're in Hillsboro and you're back with your family and the church that your father pastored for many years. And somehow you ended up at Portland Mennonite Church. What's the story?
Yeah. Well, we decided to look around for churches. Margaret didn't really want to go back to the Presbyterian church, you know, where I grew up, since we had kind of transitioned to Mennonite. Plus, she didn't know anybody in that church, and I think she would have felt kind of strange with, you know, me being back in my home, so to speak, and her kind of being an outsider at that point. So we said, you know, let's look around. And so we went to different Mennonite churches around, down in Salem, Albany, you know, some of those, Portland Mennonite. We just visited all those churches and just landed at Portland Mennonite. it's closer for one thing. And I mean, it's still quite a drive to go in to church, but it's a good church to be a part of.
That is when we used to drive to church, right?
Yes, right. Exactly.
Which brings us briefly to the pandemic. You're still working. Is that right? Tell me about working during the pandemic.
Yes, we are occupational therapy, physical therapy. You know, those healthcare professions are still considered essential. So we have continued going into people's homes. I do home health occupational therapy. So we go into facilities, people's homes, not too many nursing homes, because those people pretty much are cared for by the staff, and they have on-site occupational physical therapists. But independent living, assisted living, those types of places we are working with. We wear basically a face mask and face shield. We have to wear both those. And if we go into a facility where there is possibly COVID cases, then we have to dress in full PPE with, you know, the gloves, the gowns, mask, N95 mask. In the other homes, we just have to wear a regular surgical mask is fine. But yeah, we're still working every day.
Do you feel safe?
I feel very safe. Yep. They're taking all kinds of precautions. You know, we have to screen the people that we go to before we visit them, make sure they don't have any symptoms or haven't been around people who have had symptoms. And if they have, then we have to wear full PPE. And that, I think, is very safe. They've changed the rules slightly. We're encouraging the people now to also wear masks. For the longest time, we just wore the masks. But now we're encouraging them to wear the mask as well, just because cases are on the rise and we're just a little more diligent in what we do. And we have to wipe down all of our equipment, you know, wipe the face mask, wipe the stethoscope, wipe anything that anybody's touched. You know, we have to wipe that down after each visit before we go to the next visit. And we're constantly using hand sanitizer during the day and during the visit. And every time we pull our computer out to do something on the computer, you know, you have to sanitize your hands. And so it's a little more work, but we're still working. So I'm blessed and happy to be able to do that.
Well, a half hour goes really quickly when we start telling stories, and I'm amazed at all the places that you've been to and all the places you've lived. We're back and forth, and I thought we had moved around a lot, but I think you're giving us a run for our money. So thank you so much for taking the time to share some of your stories with us.
My pleasure.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.